ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today we are continuing our festival for Sri Gaur Purnima, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. We have just sung these beautiful prayers by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya entitled Sri Sachi Sutastakam. Eight prayers offering our gratitude and our love and our sincere intentions to serve to Lord Chaitanya, who appeared as the son of Sachi Devi. Much of the devotion among Gaudiya Vaishnavas for the last five centuries is in recognizing the relationship of Lord Chaitanya and his mother. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who wrote these prayers, had only met Lord Chaitanya after he had taken sannyas, left home forever. But still, in his praise of the crest jewel of all renunciates, sannyasis, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is especially praising him in relationship with his mother. We know the story. After Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas just 501 years ago, he left home hours before the sun rose. He didn't tell anyone. But his mother, Sachi Devi, in her motherly heart, with her love, she knew that he was going to leave that night. So she stood at the door of the house to stop her son, if at all possible, from going. And very, very late into the night, early into the morning, Lord Chaitanya left his bedroom and saw his mother standing at the doorway. She knew he was going to leave. She knew there was nothing that she could do to stop him. Because he was not leaving for any other reason than to expand the net of his mercy and love to all living beings. As a family man,
People took him to be something ordinary, sometimes criticized him, threatened him. And also he was limited to remain close to his home. That as a sannyasi, as was the tradition, especially in those days, everybody would honor him and offer respects to him. And because he's the Supreme Lord, by offering respects to him, they would become purified, even liberated. Also, as a sannyasi, he could go everywhere and anywhere without any obligations to any mundane responsibilities. Sachi knew the infinite ocean of compassion in her son's heart, and therefore she knew she could not stop him. Of course, in a completely different way, this tsunami that just hit Japan, when people saw it coming, who could stop it? It was literally the power of the ocean. And we see the devastation it did. Even one of the most powerful, technologically, scientifically advanced countries, great militaries, what could they do? Whether it comes to Japan, or Russia, or America, or India, there are forces beyond our control. Most of the planet is covered by ocean. When the power of the ocean comes upon us, what could be done? Well, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Karuna Sindhu. He is an ocean of compassion. But the difference between his ocean of compassion and the oceans of this world is one is finite and the other is infinite. The oceans of this world are not even fractions of drops compared to the ocean of mercy of the unlimited Lord. And when the unlimited wave of compassion comes from that ocean to reach out, not to destroy, but to liberate, who could stop? Sachi Mata knew this well. She stood like a statue, unable to move as she saw her son. The only movement were the incessant tears that were pouring from her eyes. Lord Chaitanya would not leave without her permission. He asked her permission. And ultimately, although it was going to break her heart forever, she only wanted what pleased her Lord and her son. And she nodded her head to give permission. The Lord bowed down to her feet in respect, circumambulated her, and left. Later on, by the arrangement of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, although the Lord, after taking sannyas in Katwa, was eager to go to Vrindavan, the very ultimate destination of his life, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who has come to experience, to taste the infinite sweetness of Radha's love. Radha is the Supreme Lord in the form of pleasure potency, the feminine aspect of the Absolute Truth. Just as Krishna is infinite and absolute, Radha's love is infinite and absolute. Even Krishna wanted to taste that love. Radha bhava duti supalitam domi Krishna swarupam. So Krishna came with the sentiment and the complexion of Radha in the form of Lord Chaitanya. In the role of a devotee, Srila Prabhupada tells us that 5,000 years ago Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, which culminates in the 18th chapter with the verse Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Masucha. And how to do that? Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya shindam namaskuru mami vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyoshine. It is Krishna's promise. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisances to me, and you will come to me without fail. Theoretical knowledge has the greatest impact in our life when we see real life practical examples of that knowledge. This is an essential principle. Mahatsevam dwaram ahurava moktes tamo dwaram yoshita sanghi sangam. By associating with great souls, hearing from them, serving what they speak, watching them, the doors to liberation open. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarava Siddhi Hoy. The scriptures declare that simply a moment's association with great souls can open the doors to the highest perfection. Kapila Dev tells us in the Srimad Bhagavatam that performance of so many yajnas, even the most difficult ones to achieve, tremendous charity, tapasya, austerities for lifetimes, elevation to heavenly planets, attainment of mystic cities, does not compare in value to a single moment's association with the sadhu. Because they give an example. So Krishna appeared in the role of a devotee to teach by his example practically how everyone, anyone, can attain perfection by surrendering to Krishna and always remembering Krishna. In this spirit, his heart yearned to go to Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is none different than Krishna. It is his eternal home. The Vrindavan in this world is none different than the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. But we can only see it through our love. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. when we see through our hearts, what we hear through our ears, and how that transforms our hearts, then we can actually see Vrindavan. With our eyes, we may see pollution, trash, hogs. But if we see with our hearts, we actually see the spiritual world, the perfection of everything. Krishna reciprocates, Vrindavan reciprocates with our love. Even in a very mundane way, we can use an example. When someone shows you a photograph of their deceased father, you don't know the person, you never knew the father. You look at the photograph and you just think, God, he didn't look nice at all. Pretty diseased and old. That's all you see. But the person showing you the photograph, when he sees that same thing, his heart is melting with love. He or she is remembering all the beautiful things the father did, all the wonderful love and kindness the father bestowed. That photo is awakening such ecstasy. Maybe mundane, but it's happiness. And for someone who's just seeing with their eyes, it's just an ugly old guy. The same principle. If we see Vrindavan with our eyes, we see all the, you know, just what's there. But if we actually have love for Krishna, that Krishna reveals according to our surrender. We can see what appears to be just an old tree with a few leaves as a kalpavriksha tree. We could see a skinny cow that's hunting for something to eat and is eating plastic on the side of the Jamuna, we could see as a Surabhi cow. So can we imagine Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Sri Radha as a devotee, his enthusiasm to go to Vrindavan? But Nityananda Prabhu, he understood that all the devotees in Navadweep, Shantipur, in that area, they were completely bereft of any reason to live after the Lord just suddenly, without saying anything, abandoned them. So Nityananda Prabhu somehow or other devised a plan to bring Lord Chaitanya to Shantipur, to the house of Advaita Acharya, and arranged Sachi Devi, the Lord's mother, and all of his intimate friends and associates to meet him there. And it was there that Mother Sachi saw her son with a shaved head. Gone were those beautiful locks of silken hair and the beautiful robes of silk. And garlands and ornaments were replaced with a very drab, simple cloth of a sannyasi. The Lord bowed at her feet and sat on her lap, and she bathed him with her tears. The Lord said, Out of madness I left, but now I'll do whatever you say. if you go to Vrindavan, you'll never return. It's too nice a place. Especially in those days. It was beautiful forests. River Yamuna was very wide with pristine, clear water flowing very rapidly. There was no shops. Loy Bazaar was not even conceived of. There was no hoardings, not a single rickshaw. It was a forest, and only the saintliest of saintly people resided there. And the Brijabasis were so pure, just living simple, taking care of their cows, plowing their fields, growing crops, but everyone loved Krishna. Sachi Mata requested, go to Puri, because Krishna is residing there as Lord Jagannath, but it's very close to Navadvip. Like two rooms in the same house, people come back and forth, so I will hear about your welfare and your pastimes. So to please his mother and his devotees, the Lord made his residence in Puri. In the month of Magh, he took sannyas, came to Puri. A few months later, he did his South Indian tour for 2 years. Then he returned and told his devotees he wanted to go to Vrindavan. They had just been in separation from him for 2 years. And now he wants to leave again. They couldn't say no. They couldn't say yes. And the Lord would not leave without getting their permission. There's a beautiful song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Tumi Sarveshwareshwara Brajendra Kumara, which means the Lord Krishna is the controller of all controllers. He's totally abhigya, swarat. He's all-knowing and independent. The Lord does not require permission from anyone to do anything. But yet, he will not do anything without the permission of his devotees in his role as Lord Chaitanya. Just to show his relationships, the relationships of love, are higher than the relationships of control. Many conceive and worship God as the supreme controller of all controllers, Sarveshwareshwara, Ishvara Paramakrishna. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from him. Not a blade of grass could move without his sanction. Supreme controller. But a higher relationship with the Lord is Rasa Bihari. That he is the supreme enjoyer of loving relationships. Although he is the supreme controller, he is controlled by the love of his devotee. It's a higher principle. Another crude example, since we're doing that today. Some very, very powerful politician or powerful businessman may direct armies and governments, or may have millions or billions of dollars with tens and thousands of employees, will do anything they say anytime, and if they don't, they're finished. us. Very powerful controlling position. But when that person comes home to the wife and children, do they really care about that stuff? He says to the wife, I am the controller of the governments. Do what I say or you're finished. She'll say to him, say that again and you're finished. And he won't say it again. And if he does, he'll be finished. Because the relationship of love is a higher principle. They don't want to see him as a controller. They want to see his loving, how he's conquered by the love of the wife, conquered by the love of the children, conquered by the love of the grandchildren. And they're conquered by his love. So these human tendencies have their ultimate origin in the divine, in the supreme. So Lord Chaitanya asked permission to go to South India. And then he had asked permission to go to Vrindavan. And they couldn't say yes, couldn't say no. So they, between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, they made a plan. They were both great scholars who understood the vast quantity and quality and essence of all scriptures, and they apply their intelligence in a practical way. The conclusion was, they told Lord Chaitanya that Rath Yatra is coming up, so you should wait till after Rath Yatra. After Rath Yatra, they said, there's still the rainy season. You should wait till after the rainy season. Janmashtami and so many things. After that, you know, Kartik is here, and there's Govardhan Puja and other festivals. And there's Vijay Dasami. You shouldn't go now. It's not good. You should wait till after the festival. Then there's Dola Yatra, holy festival. It's very nice. You should stay till after. And then he said, can I go now? I said, well, but Rath Yatra's coming up. In this way, 2 years, they wouldn't let him go. Bound by the ropes of his love. And finally, he took Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya by the hands, embraced them, said, I'm yearning, I'm longing to go to Vrindavan. Why are you stopping me? Please let me go. And they realized, some Siddhir Hari Toshanam, ultimately the only thing they wanted was to please him. Said, yes, yes, you go, but we'll go with you. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the day that Ram defeated Ravana, Dasera, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And went to Bhuvaneshwar. First he went to Jagannath's temple early, early morning and asked Lord Jagannath in the temple for permission. And the pujari gave him garlands and mahaprasad as an expression of permission. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought some mahaprasad of Jagannath and started going. And his devotees were with him. They came to Bhuvaneshwar. He went and worshipped Lord Shiva at Bhuvaneshwar with great love and devotion. Then they came to Katak, to the Shakshi Gopal temple. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his devotees danced and performed kirtan. singing the holy names. And then they sat in the courtyard of the Gopal temple. At that time, Ramananda Rai arranged for King Prataparudra to appear there. Now I'm going to go back a little so we could best understand what's about to happen. Following in Lord Chaitanya's footsteps, with your permission. While living in Jagannath Puri, just before his departure, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on a full moon night was sitting on the shore of the ocean, looking out at that beautiful ocean. For some time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees were performing kirtan almost all night, every night, on the shore of the ocean. And the ocean was very happy. In the same way that Krishna enjoyed Yamuna in Vrindavan and Nimai enjoyed the Ganga in Navadvip, now the ocean was enjoying the same pastimes of love. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains how even Mother Ganga was very swiftly going to the ocean, recognizing her good fortune and wanting, eager to mix her waters within to serve Lord Chaitanya. During those days in Puri, Gadadhar Pandit was the Lord's constant associate. Practically day and night, they were together. And Lord Chaitanya would take Gadadhar Pandit to different devotees' homes every day. And every day Lord Chaitanya would come to Gadadhar Pandit's place, the Tota Gopinath temple, to hear Gadadhar recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited the Bhagavat Purana with such faith, such love, that as he would be reading and discussing, tears would flood from his eyes. And Lord Chaitanya's eyes would do the same. It was the Lord's daily regulation to spend about 3 hours discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit. Another special devotee was Swarup Damodar Goswami, who had just come to Puri after the South Indian trip of Lord Chaitanya. As Lord Chaitanya was irresistibly attracted to Gadadhar Pandit's discussion of the Bhagavatam, he was irresistibly attracted to Swarup Damodar Goswami's kirtan. When Swarup Damodar Goswami would chant, he understood the innermost feelings at every moment of Lord Chaitanya's heart, and he would sing the kirtan perfectly corresponding to that. There's a beautiful explanation in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat of how Swarup Damodar Goswami was leading, singing a kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing through the small lanes of Jagannath Puri. And he would become so absorbed in the holy name that everything of this external world was completely forgotten. And as he was dancing, he jumped in a well. And everyone in Puri knew that for years and years, this particular well, which was way deep down, had absolutely no water in it. And he just jumped in it and went all the way down. People were beside themselves in grief. What happened to the body of our beloved Lord? They ran and ran to the well, and when they got there, they found that right up to the top, the well was filled with fresh, creamy butter. And Lord Chaitanya was comfortably laying in the butter. Even material nature was facilitating everything for the Lord. But that was the power of Swarup Damodar Goswami's kirtan. And there was another devotee named Paramananda Puri, who was a very older man, and who was a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's guru, Ishwara Puri. And regularly Lord Chaitanya would go to Paramananda Puri's home. Paramananda Puri, his special feature was meditation. He would do silent meditation, but in his meditation, Krishna would reveal his eternal pastimes to the heart of Paramananda Puri. Not only was he absorbed in meditation, but he conquered the Lord by his meditation. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes say, "I have come to this material world simply to give happiness to Paramananda Puri." Because of his love and his devotion, because of the love and devotion of his meditation, I am his property forever. One day he asked Paramananda Puri, "You have a nice well in your ashram. Is the water good to drink?" Paramananda Puri shook his head and said, "The water is horrible. It's very bitter. And it's filled with mud." When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he looked into the well and saw it was muddy and polluted like anything. And he cried out, "O Lord Jagannath, why have you done like this? You are a miser." The Lord could say that about himself. He said, "You know that anyone who touches, drinks, or bathes in the water that has touched Paramananda Puri is going to be liberated with pure devotion. Therefore, you have allowed Maya to come in and not allow anyone to want to come near this water." Then he raised both of his arms and he said, "Oh Jagannath, grant me this one benediction, that the river Ganges will perfectly and directly flow into this well." Then he said goodbye to all the devotees and went just to Gambira, his residence, and everyone went home. But Mother Ganga followed that order. The next morning, when people woke up, they saw that the water in Paramananda Puri's well was pristine clear. It was like nectar. It was a great miracle. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came with all the devotees and they saw Paramananda Puri fainted. Lord Chaitanya bathed in the water, drank the water, distributed it to everyone, and said, "Anyone who touches this water will get the same effect as the perfection of bathing in the Ganges. Will get love and devotion to Lord Krishna." These were the Lord's pastimes in in Jagannath Puri. When he decided to leave, as was explained, all the devotees wanted to come with him. In fact, everyone wanted to come with him. And Lord Chaitanya happened to see Gadadhar Pandit in his entourage, going to Vrindavan. And he said, Gadadhar Pandit, you cannot go. Everyone else was going, but you cannot go. He said, why? Because you have taken the vow of a Kshetra Sannyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what Kshetra Sannyas is. It's when a person who lives in a holy place and worships a particular deity in that place makes a vow to never leave there. Sometimes renunciates, or even sometimes householders, husband and wife. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's the most suitable type of vanaprastha to never leave the worshipable deity of your life and to stay in that place. So the Lord said, you are worshipping Gopinath. You cannot leave his city, Puri. You must stay back. And Gadadhar Pandit said, but I'm coming with you. Because wherever you are, that is Puri. He said, but what about your worship of your deity, Gopinath? Who's going to take care? Gadadhar Pandit said, to hell with this Kshetra Sannyas. By seeing you for even a moment, it's equal to worshipping Gopinath tens and millions of times. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you can say that. But I will be held responsible for you breaking your vows, so you should not go. Gadadhar Pandit said, I'm not going with you. I'm just going alone to see your mother, Sachi Devi, and the river Ganges. So you go, and I'll be a little distance away. So the Lord went, and he had his whole group of people coming with him. It was growing every moment. And Gadadhar Pandit was just outside of the group, a little to the side, a little behind, going alone. They came to Katak, or in the courtyard of the Gopal deity. Ramananda Rai called for King Prataparudra. Now we know the story of the past, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not meet the king because he considered him a gross materialistic person due to his position, and considered that a sannyasi should not be mixing with such a person. Not only did he test the king, but he showed the world what was the fiber of the king's devotion. First thing the king said when he heard this is, I will give up my kingdom. I'll give up everything and become a beggar if that's what is required to get the mercy of the Lord. And he was actually willing to do it. The devotees had to beg him not to leave his palace and give up his kingdom. That was how much he valued service to the Lord. Greater than any power, any prestige, greater than any wealth, is the opportunity to serve and to please. When we speak about seva, seva doesn't mean just doing your duty. Seva is the most precious, valuable thing that one could possibly attain within this creation. Even an unrivaled, undisputed king who would never have to leave his position till death was willing to give it all up and become a beggar sleeping in the street, going door to door for food, to please the Lord and get the opportunity for seva. But the devotees kept him in his place. And the Lord tested him so many ways, and ultimately, during the Rath Yatra, by the blessings of others, the devotees, the king disguised himself and got to massage the Lord's legs
and was embraced by the Lord.
And from that point on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the king and showed the world the king's true devotion, true renunciation. And then he openly mixed with the king. In Cuttack, King Prataparudra came. And he brought all sorts of prasad for the Lord and all of his devotees from Jagannath's temple. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, the king bowed down at Lord Chaitanya's feet. Lord Chaitanya lifted him up and embraced him. They both bathed each other with their tears. It was such a beautiful experience. And then King Prataparudra told his chief ministers that Lord Chaitanya is going to Vrindavan. So as long as he's traveling in my kingdom of Orissa, we should have the best facilities for him. Immediately go. And this was fast management. This was faster than our yatra management. He had his ministers and his kingdom, because Lord Chaitanya was going to be in each place just a few days from then. He had them build beautiful homes, storage houses to hold grains and vegetables, so that, and then kitchens to make massive, wonderful, incredible feasts for Lord Chaitanya and all of his devotees and everybody with him. And he had arranged royal boats and other such boats to be at every river to bring the Lord across the rivers. And he said, wherever the Lord crosses the river, he told his ministers, I want you to build a memorial so that the whole world for all time to come could go there and worship the Lord who took his bath in that place. King Prataparudra said, and I want to die in that place. So the devotees, or the ministers, they went out and started doing, building houses, building kitchens, building granaries, building guests, everything, arranging boats. He practically, whatever was in his treasury, he wasn't budgeting funds for that purpose. It didn't matter if nothing was left, because he understood, if you please the Lord, sam siddhir hari toshanam, that's our success. If Krishna's pleased, if Lord Chaitanya's pleased by the prasad we offer and by the accommodations for his devotees, then we don't need armies. Who's going to conquer us? We don't need anything. This was the king's mentality. And that's why he was unrivaled and never defeated at any time. Even though there was Mughal conquerors trying to destroy him and other, you know, Vijayanagar and other people who were trying to take over his kingdom constantly, nobody could touch him. Because he was protected by the Lord. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the king, he embraced him, and the king was feeling such deep separation, but at the same time such a great happiness that he had the opportunity to serve. Because real relationship is in our service, not just physical proximity. The famous statement of Srila Prabhupada, where he was telling devotees that you really associate with your Guru and Krishna through the purity of your service, your seva, not by physical proximity. He said this in Calcutta. And there was a big Calcutta mosquito on Srila Prabhupada's body. And he asked, physical proximity, who's the closest person in the world to me now? He said, this mosquito. But he's not giving me happiness. He's just trying to suck my blood. So don't be mosquitoes. Our real connection is through following the instructions. That is seva. By tad vidhi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya. Upadekshati te, the Bhagavad Gita Krishna tells. When we approach a guru, we inquire submissively, and then we follow the instructions by performing seva. That is the way of perfection. So, Lord Chaitanya left King Prataparudra, but King Prataparudra put his top ministers, Harichandan and others, to go with the Lord and arrange everything for him, to make sure everything was all right for his devotees as long as he was within his kingdom. And then the Lord got on one of the king's boats to cross the river in Katak. And he saw a little distance away Gadadhar Pandit. For the first time in his journey, he called Gadadhar. He said, I want to speak to you. Come here. Gadadhar came. And the Lord said, now you have fulfilled your purpose. You intended to break your vow, so your intention was fulfilled. Now you've done what you're supposed to do. Go back and worship Gopinath. That is your place. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will not be condemned by allowing you to say another word. And then his boat took off. And Gadadhar Pandit fainted. Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please take care of him and bring him home. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Gadadhar Pandit, you are so fortunate to see the Lord's love for you. To protect your promise, the Lord is going through so much pangs of separation himself from you. Just as in Kurukshetra, to protect the promise of Bhishma, Krishna broke his own promise. Krishna promised, I will not lift a weapon and I will not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. But Bhishma, he promised, I'm going to make Krishna break his promise. And Bhishma was fighting with Arjuna and had Arjuna in a state where he was just about to be destroyed, killed by Bhishma. Of course, Bhishma knew he couldn't kill Arjuna because he knew Krishna would save him. And Krishna lifted a wheel of a chariot and attacked Bhishma. Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna in ecstasy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that those arrows, because they were shot into Krishna's body with pure love, they felt like, to Krishna, they felt just like you or me showering his body with the petals of lotus flowers. Or he uses the example that when someone bites you, it really hurts, and you don't like it. But if a lover bites you with love, it feels nice. Brahmacharis don't understand this. Even I don't understand it. Somebody in this room may understand this. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur understood it, and he was a renunciate his whole life, so... We, as Gaura Gopal Prabhu was saying, we could see by hearing. We don't have to do it. We just hear about it, okay? So Bhishma, this was the love between him and Krishna. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, similarly, the Lord has protected your promise and broke, and he is going through so much
separation and feelings from you in doing so.
And the Lord continued his journey. And everywhere they went, King Prataparudra arranged chariots and elephants to bring massive quantities of Jagannath's prasad fresh from the temple waiting wherever Lord Chaitanya was stopping with his devotees.
So it was wonderful.
And then they came to the last place at the border of Orissa in Bengal. That was the end of King Prataparudra's kingdom. He couldn't help the Lord beyond that. And there was a man who they called Mahapatra, who was assisting, and he was from that last town. And the border was a river. He told Lord Chaitanya, "You can't cross this river, not now. It's very dangerous. There is a Yavana king." Not a king, a governor. Who's under the Mughal emperor. And this man, he's constantly drunk with intoxicants. He has armies of dacoits, murderers, criminals, robbers, who rob, steal, and kill for no reason at all. And he will not allow anyone to cross this river into his province. And if anyone tries, they'll be tortured, they'll be killed, they'll be plundered. So let's wait a few days and let me try to somehow or other negotiate with him and make some sort of an agreement where he'll allow you a safe passage. I cannot tell you enough how dangerous and cruel this man is. And he hates Hindus. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan with his devotees. Meanwhile, this Yavana governor, this cruel drunken man, he understood something was happening there. So he sent a spy. The spy came back and told the governor, you won't believe who I just saw there. He said, "Who did you see?" He said, "There's this sannyasi, renunciate. He's a swami, but not like any other swami I've ever seen. He's beautiful. And he's constantly chanting the holy names of Hari and Krishna." And the person kept saying, "Hare Krishna." The governor was watching. "What's happened to you? You never did this before." He started crying. "Hare Krishna." The governor said, "What's going on?" He said, "This person, there's torrents of tears coming from his eyes. There's such love in his heart. This person is the Supreme Lord. I know it. I know it. Even though I may be a Muslim, I know this person is the Supreme Lord of our religion and every religion. The ecstasies of the love that's manifesting from him, no one has ever seen." And he started describing in detail the features of Lord Chaitanya. His beautiful lotus-like eyes. And his wonderful relationship with his devotees in kirtan. And just by hearing the Lord's activities and qualities, this Yavana king's heart filled with love. And he sent his own secretary across the river and told the Mahapatra that the governor wants to come here to have darshan of this swami. The Mahapatra was very, he wants to have darshan. He's never wanted darshan before. So tell him he could come, but with no weapons and no armies and no soldiers. He could come with only four or five
servants.
So the next day, the governor put on the dress of a simple Hindu and came across. And as soon as he saw Lord Chaitanya, he fell down and offered his prostrate obeisances, started weeping and crying in ecstatic love, chanting the holy names. Mahapatra was shocked. The governor was actually exhibiting the highest perfection of yoga, prema bhakti, ecstatic love. What has happened to him? And then the governor asked Lord Chaitanya, after very humble prayers, I am so sinful, but I vow to you I will never engage in any cruelty or any sins ever again. I'm your servant. Please tell me, how can I serve you? And in this instance, Srila Prabhupada explains that the real fruit, the real sign of spiritual progress that comes through chanting God's names is our enthusiasm to serve. If we are not enthusiastic to serve, however many times we chant God's names, we're not really making any true spiritual progress. In fact, Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas, they have even given the spirit of a translation to the Maha Mantra. My dear Radha and Krishna, please engage me in your loving service. And when we actually chant with great sincerity, enthusiasm to serve without selfish desires awakens in our hearts. So everyone was very, very pleased that just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya and chanting the names of Krishna by the influence of Lord Chaitanya, this governor awakened a deep enthusiasm to render unconditional, unmotivated, unselfish service. And Mukunda, the Lord's associate, he told the governor that it's very dangerous where we're trying to go. Please arrange for Lord Chaitanya to have a safe passage. And this governor was so enthusiastic to serve. He said, I'll be back. He said, I will send boats tomorrow and I'll make sure you get past all of this dangerous parts without any trouble. And the next morning, the governor's own boats came to bring Lord Chaitanya across. And when they crossed the river, the governor himself offered his life and soul in devotion. And he had so many boats around. He said, I had this boat specially made only for you. And I'll travel on this boat with you. And because for a long distance from here on this river, there are cruel pirates who will kill for nothing, I will have 10 boats of my soldiers around you and your devotees to protect you. And I'll be there as well. They came to a certain place where they passed through the dangerous area and came into another kingdom. And the Lord Chaitanya said goodbye to the governor, and the governor, with tears of love, left his heart with the Lord and went back to his place. Then the next place the boat went with Lord Chaitanya was Panihati. There Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 2 days with Raghava Pandit and his sister Demayanti. And when he came to the Ganges in Panihati, so many of the local devotees from there came to join the Lord's party. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then stopped in Shantipur, visited Advaitacharya and his family, and from there he took a boat across and came to Vidyanagar, one of the islands of Sri Navadvipa Dham. This was the first time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to Navadvipa since he took sannyas. He went to the house of Vidyavachaspati, who was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. At that point, hardly anyone knew that Lord Chaitanya had come. In fact, no one from Navadvipa knew. Lord Chaitanya came to Vidyavachaspati's house. He was shocked. Here is my Lord. He offered his pranams, his dandavats at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him. And Vidyavachaspati said, my house, my family, my everything has become perfect because you have come to accept our service. Lord Chaitanya said, I am on my way to Mathura and Vrindavan. But on the way, I wanted to see my mother Sachi and the river Ganga. So I'll be here for just a few days to bathe in the river Ganges. I don't want anyone to know that I'm here. Keep it a secret. Vidyavachaspati said, no one will know that you are here. The Lord spent a couple days there, very quietly. But how long can you hide the sun from shining? Soon the word spread that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned to Navadvipa. It spread like the wildest of all fires. There were hundreds and thousands of people rushing to the house of Vidyavachaspati. But how to get there? They were running. First there was hundreds, then there was thousands and tens of thousands and thousands of people running. The roads were so packed with people running that nobody else could fit on the road. People were running through fields. The fields were so packed, nobody could run in the fields. They were running through the jungles where there were thorn bushes. They were running right through the thorn bushes, and the thorn bushes didn't even hurt them because they were so absorbed with the idea of seeing the Lord. Running, running, running. As they were running, they were all speaking to each other. When I see the Lord, I'm going to beg him to forgive me. I blasphemed so many people in the past. I was very cruel. I engaged in so many immoral activities. I'm going to beg him that I may always remember him. I may always serve him with love. Another person said, my father is a gambler. I'm going to beg him to stop my father from gambling. Another, they were talking to all the benedictions they were going to ask from the Lord when they received. And they were more and more enthusiastic. When all these people almost at the same time came to the river Ganges, they realized they had to cross it. And in India, for some reason, hardly anyone knows how to swim. Even today, people living on oceans and near rivers, we go on yatras. And we had to make a rule, please try to learn swimming so you don't drown. And some did, but most, they're too afraid. So what to speak of 500 years ago? There was hardly a one of these hundreds and thousands of people who knew swimming. So how to cross the Ganges?
And they saw some fairies. And these ferrymen are always trying to fill up their boats. And it's very difficult because those are quaint places, Navadweep. But within seconds, thousands of people were on the ferry. And within seconds, the ferry disintegrated. Just too many people. It just caved in and all of it fell to thousand pieces. And the ferryman was now, what? How am I going to earn my living? And the people were so enthusiastic. Whatever little they had extra, they had an extra pair of clothes. They said, you just take this and buy a new ferry. And then they had to cross the Ganges. They didn't even think twice about. Some of them somehow or other bought or found clay pots. They, with their two arms, they held the clay pot to their chest and used it like a raft to float across the Ganges. There were no more clay pots. So other people saw banana trees and they pulled down the banana tree and took the trunk of the banana tree and used it like a raft and was going across. Soon there was no more banana trees. And there were no ferries. There was no boats. So everybody else, they were so enthusiastic to see the Lord, they forgot that they didn't know how to swim. And they swam across the Ganges. By this time, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people all in the Ganges at the same time, some holding clay pots, some holding banana trunks, and some swimming. And some didn't even know what they were doing, but somehow or other they were going. And they all crossed the Ganges. And not a single person died or got injured. Because of their enthusiasm, the Lord protected them. And then they all started running to Vidyavachaspati's house. And all the fields and the town, everything was covered with people and everyone wanted to see the Lord. Hundreds of people started climbing the same tree in order to see above everyone else. And no tree fell down. Some were sitting on the little twig branches at the end of the tree. And nothing happened. Thousands of people went on the same little rooftop. And this is 500 years ago, Bengali rooftops in Navadweep. And no roof caved in. And people were running to Vidyavachaspati and falling at his feet and saying, please let us see the Lord. We'll do anything, everything. Give us a chance to see the Lord. And everyone started chanting because they knew that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to the world to establish this congregational chanting of the holy names and how he was so pleased to reveal himself when we come together without envy among each others to perform kirtan, taking shelter. So soon there were practically millions of people loudly crying out the holy names. The chanting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared by coming out of the house. We cannot even conceive the happiness of all of these people. And he appeared in such a way that everyone could see him. And he raised his arms and told everyone to chant Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
And everyone was chanting, Hari
Hari. Hari, Hari.
They were gazing upon him with great love, and he was gazing upon everyone. And chanting and chanting and chanting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself started to dance with all of the devotees. But seeing the crowds were swelling so great, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all of a sudden slipped away and disappeared. Vidyavachaspati was looking all over for him. He couldn't find him. And then the people, after seeing the Lord, his incredible beauty and being inundated with the blessing of his loving glance, they were chanting louder and louder and louder to bring the Lord back out, but he didn't come. So some of the people went to Vidyavachaspati and said, please, I know the Lord doesn't want to be in these big crowds, but I've done so many things for you in the past. You're like my brother. I'm like your brother. I'm all alone. Please, secretly, privately, let me see the Lord again. Vidyavachaspati said, I don't know where he is. And more and more and more people were coming to him and asking him the same thing. And he said, I don't know. I don't know, honest. And soon people started criticizing him. A sadhu is one who wants to see everyone liberated. A materialistic person just wants his own selfish desires fulfilled. Vidyavachaspati is a selfish, materialistic person. He wants to enjoy Lord Chaitanya all for himself. He doesn't care anything about us or our liberation. Let us rot in hell while he's getting liberated. Even in common conventions, if you have a large, large pot of sweets, you distribute them. You don't eat them all yourself. Lord Chaitanya is the sweetest of all sweets, and he wants to enjoy them all himself. Disgraceful, this Vidyavachaspati. On one hand, Vidyavachaspati was completely overcome that the Lord disappeared, and on the other hand, he's being criticized by anyone. He didn't know what to do. Sometimes the Lord puts his devotees in these situations. And then someone came and whispered in Vidyavachaspati's ear, the Lord has gone to the town of Kulia. So Vidyavachaspati told everybody, I just got the message, he's gone to Kulia, let us all go to Kulia. And they all went, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
They had to cross the river again to get to Kulia. By this time, you know, a lot of boats, because they understood all these people, they all came and assembled, and people got on these boats, so many, that the boats would be in the middle of the river and sink. And nobody knew swimming, and there was no life rafts. The boat would go down, 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 and as it was going down, just before it was submerged in water, it hit land. So no boat sank. But they couldn't go anywhere, so everyone just jumped off and swam. By this time, by the time these people came to Kulia, the crowd was 1,000 times bigger. Everyone was hearing the news. Nimai has returned to Navadvip. They were in Kulia, but they had no idea where the Lord was. So now Vidyavachaspati was really in a situation. He brought everyone to Kulia. But where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He was frantically searching everywhere. And then he found him in the house of Madhava Das. And he went to Lord and said, you know, you are most merciful. You are an ocean of compassion, and all these people have come to be delivered by you, especially me. Because if you don't show yourself, I'm going to be responsible for bringing them all here.
So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled. And meanwhile, by this time, there were millions of people assembled. It was bigger than Kumbh Mela. And all of them, they knew that if they chanted the holy names and filled the world with this pure transcendental sound vibration, and they knew if they chanted with pure love and devotion in their hearts, it would attract Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear. So everyone, with tears of devotion in their eyes, from their heart of hearts, as loud as they could, they raised their arms to chant the holy name. Echo. But nothing happened. So they chanted even louder. Still. Nothing. From their heart of hearts. They weren't just chanting, they were crying out the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before everyone. And again raised both of his arms and told everyone, Harivo! And they were celebrating with such happiness. There were literally among those millions of people, there were thousands of kirtan groups with their own little kirtans dancing and singing. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself began to dance. With his arms raised. It was so beautiful. He captured everyone's hearts. He danced with all of these people for hours and hours and hours. Then he sat down in Madhava's house. And one by one, people were coming to offer prayers and offer their hearts. Especially people who had previously performed horrible deeds against the Lord's devotees. And people who were proud and had no devotion. One such person was Devananda Pandit. He was a great scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he explained it in his own way, without any understanding of true devotion. And Devananda Pandit, once when he was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srivas Thakur came to his satsang, and hearing about Krishna, Srivas went into ecstasy. And the students of Devananda Pandit physically threw him out. And Devananda Pandit did not stop them. Therefore, he could not have... If you offend devotees, you cannot understand the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Vakreshwar Pandit, a very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he was performing kirtan, house to house, village to village. And Devananda Pandit saw the divine qualities of Vakreshwar Pandit, and hearing him chanting,
his heart became very much affected. And he invited Vakreshwar Pandit to stay in his ashram. And Devananda Pandit was inviting people to come, and crowds were coming. He was guarding with a stick so no one would interfere with Vakreshwar Pandit's beautiful, beautiful dance. And sometimes he would massage Vakreshwar Pandit. He would clean the dust from his body while he was during the kirtan. And because he sincerely served a devotee, his whole heart changed, and he could realize that Lord Chaitanya, who he had neglected for so many years, was the Supreme Lord. He came there and bowed to Lord Chaitanya, but he was so embarrassed by his previous activity, he kept a distance. Lord Chaitanya saw him and said, Devananda, come here, sit with me. You have served Vakreshwar Pandit. Vakreshwar Pandit is pure in heart. Krishna always resides in his heart because of his love. And whenever Vakreshwar Pandit is, Krishna is there. Wherever Vakreshwar Pandit dances, Krishna is dancing. Because you have served him with devotion, you are my life and soul. Come here. Vakreshwar Pandit was forgiven and given the highest perfection of Prema Bhakti. And he asked the Lord, how should I speak Srimad Bhagavatam? And the Lord explained in much detail how the goal of the Bhagavatam is pure love. Explain every word in that context. Another Brahmin approached the Lord and said, with my mouth I have blasphemed you. I have blasphemed your devotees continually. But now I understand who you are. Please tell me, what is the remedy for what I have done? Lord Chaitanya said, if one drinks poison with his mouth, that poison will be the cause of his death. But with the same mouth, if one drinks amrita, nectar, it will not only counteract the poison, but it will bring about immortality. To criticize others is like drinking poison with your mouth, from a spiritual perspective. But to sing the names of the Lord, to sing the praises of the Lord, to sing the praises of the Lord's devotees, and to not criticize others is like drinking nectar. So speak and glorify the Lord's devotees. Don't criticize anyone. And in this mood, drink the nectar of the holy day. Lord Chaitanya was approached by Gopal Chapala in Kulia. He was so envious, so wicked in heart. He tried to destroy the reputation of Srivas Thakur. Srivas was having these kirtans in his home with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees every night. And this person was so envious at the popularity that Srivas had, that he decided, I have to destroy his reputation forever. So he put he set up a puja outside of Srivas's house, which was meant for people in the mode of ignorance, the kind of puja of slaughtering animals, so that when people would come, they would think that this is what Srivas is doing. Can you imagine if Gopal Chapala had access to the internet. He would have won on a massive international campaign. But he was doing everything within his power to destroy the reputation of Srivas.
And Srivas came out in the morning and saw all this set up. And instead of cleaning it away, he called the townspeople and said, "I just want you to see what I do when nobody's looking." But nobody believed him. And because of that offense, Gopal Chapala got leprosy. He was suffering due to the offense he made to such a great soul. And one day, because he had leprosy in those days, he was exiled from the town. He was just living alone, suffering miserably on the bank of the Ganges in a secluded place. And one time Lord Chaitanya was walking by and Gopal Chapala came and said, "Please, I understand you are such a great personality. Relieve me of my suffering. I surrender to you." And Lord Chaitanya said to him, "Because you have offended Srivas, a devotee, my blessing is that you will suffer the same leprosy for the next 10 million births." Then the Lord walked away. He was begging forgiveness to relieve himself of his suffering, but he hadn't yet at that time actually rectified that fault-finding spirit. But now, some years later, when Lord Chaitanya came to Kulia, the leper Gopal Chapala came back to him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You will be freed of your leprosy, delivered of all sins, and you will attain the highest perfection of life if you just get the forgiveness of Srivas." He went to Srivas and Srivas forgave him. Srivas never thought anything bad about him. And Gopal Chapala was not only perfectly healthy, but he attained the perfection of yoga. These were some of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Kulia. And even today, Kulia Gram, which is the modern day Navadweep town, is a place which is renowned to be forgiven for one's sins and offenses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of Madhava in Kulia for 1 week, meeting all of these different people by the thousands and thousands. Then he continued his journey to Vrindavan. Should I continue? Would you like to end now and continue in the evening? You are also polite. I'll continue a little longer and I'll After the Lord departed from Kulia, there was one simple brahmachari named Narasinghananda. He had no possessions. He used to just go out and beg for food, but he was a great, great devotee. And he saw the Lord going by foot all the way to Vrindavan. It's about 1,000 kilometers. And there were so many people following Lord Chaitanya by this time. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says every step that the Lord took where his foot was, people would jump to that place to get the dust where his feet was. And in this way, there were holes in the ground wherever he stepped. Hundreds of people were grabbing, till there was holes. Worse than the streets in Bombay. Narasinghananda Brahmachari wanted to perform seva. He wanted Lord Chaitanya to have a really comfortable, scenic journey to Vrindavan. But what could he do?
He didn't have any money to hire construction companies or landscaping firms. But one thing he did have was the desire. And Krishna is bhava-grahi janardana, which means he accepts the love in the heart of his devotees. Material, spiritual. For the Lord, material is forgetfulness of something's relationship with God, and spiritual is utilizing everything in a spirit of devotion. So Narasinghananda Brahmachari sat down on a roadside to meditate. And in his meditation, he was going inch by inch, foot by foot, meter by meter, mile by mile, decorating the roads in front of Lord Chaitanya. First of all, he paved the road with gold. Then he ornamented the road with precious diamonds and rubies and emeralds and lapis lazulis and other such gems. And then to make it very soft, he covered that golden bejeweled road, which was very wide, so that the Lord and all his devotees could walk on it. He covered it with stemless flowers. Very soft lotus, champak, and jasmine, and fragrant, beautiful flower. Then on either side of the road, he constructed with his mind beautiful lakes with pristine, clear water. And thousands of lotus flowers, fresh, fully bloomed at all times in the lake. And sweet bees swarming around the lotus flowers, making beautiful sounds. And around the lakes and on the sides of the road, auspicious trees like bakula trees, fully blossomed with flowers. And in his meditation, he invited the most sweet singing, beautiful birds to be filling those trees, singing sweet songs. When Lord Chaitanya was walking down the road, chanting with all his devotees, with his eyes, he only saw all around him what was in Narasinghananda Brahmachari's meditation. He felt those soft flower petals on the golden road. He was seeing the swans singing in the lakes. Nobody else could see, because the Lord is bhava grahi. He accepts the purpose of our devotion, our love. Bhava is the inner heart's desire to please the Lord with love. And when we have bhava, that's what Krishna sees. Not the thing, but the love. Because the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya, he's transcendental to this material nature. For him, the reality of the meditation in the mind of the devotee and the reality of what's physically in this world, there's no difference. So Lord Chaitanya was happily enjoying everything Narasinghananda Brahmachari had created. And Narasinghananda Brahmachari did it all without spending one paisa. Hare Krishna. And the Lord also wanted to show us through this beautiful pastime that there can be no material impediment to our devotional service if we are sincere.
success, failure, all of these dualities of this world, our tendency is to judge them by physical results. But Bhagavad Gita explains that the real result is simply our sincerity. Krishna sees our sincerity. He doesn't see the physical thing. All of a sudden, Narasinghananda Brahmachari came to Kanai Natashala, one village. And as hard as he could try, he could not continue. He couldn't make the road golden. He couldn't create any lakes or trees beyond there. He tried and he tried and he tried. Then he came out of his meditation and told the devotees around him, Lord Chaitanya is not going to Vrindavan. He's going to go to Kanai Natashala and then come back. They were, what? How do you know that? He's been wanting to go to Vrindavan for so long. Now to find out exactly what happened, please come this evening for the program. And we will continue. Thank you very much. Should we have a few minutes kirtan to end?